is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
The New World Report. Joseph Umar, the executive director of Secure Free Society, is here. He's in Buenos Aires. He's traveling, the capital of Argentina. However, since last we spoke, he's been to the tri-border region. This is almost mythological now to me because I've never been there. But the tri-border region is Paraguay, touching both Brazil and Argentina. It is said to be naturally beautiful with falls and landscapes. But at the same time, because of customs rules, because of what you'd have to say established entry and exit routes, because of different customs officials, it is a hotbed of speculation about bad actors in Brazil, in Argentina, and throughout South America. Joseph, a very good evening to you. We left you in Buenos Aires and you went to the tri-border region. Why were you there? What did you learn? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Yeah, so, no, as you mentioned, John, the tri-border area has been kind of a focal point for a lot of security forces from really throughout the world, but particularly from Latin America, South America, the region, because it's been considered a hotbed for organized crime, for terror finance, for contraband and many of these illicit activities. However, when you go visit the tri-border area, and I think it's important for listeners to know, is it's actually a very beautiful area. It's got these great waterfalls, the Iguazu Falls, considered one of the seven wonders of the world. It's, you know, three countries that's kind of like in this one geographic territory that has three, you speak three different languages, you have three different currencies, you have three major cities. And so it's very modern, actually. It's more modern than you would think it is, because the way it's characterized because of the security issues, you think it's like the Wild Wild West, when it's really much more like a mini Las Vegas, so to speak. However, what I was doing there, I mean, it was a few of us that were there, under the leadership of both Paraguay, Argentina, and Brazil, the three countries, they're trying to reestablish this, what they call the 3+1 framework, which is the three countries of the tri-border area plus the United States, to establish a tri-border command that looks at the convergence of transnational organized crime and international terrorism. So it was an interesting conference where each day we spent the day of the conference at a different country. So like the first day was in Foz de Iguazu in Brazil, second day in Ciudad del Este, Paraguay, and the third day in Iguazu in Argentina. And I'd say the main takeaway from all this was basically the enhanced and increased cooperation among these three countries that are looking at a threat network that's increasing, that's tied to everything that we're seeing in the region and in the Middle East. In the region, you know, the growth of prison-based gangs, whether it's the Tren de Aragua from Venezuela or the PCC from Brazil, or even as far as to the MS-13 from Salvador, that phenomenon is really touching down in the tri-border area, where prison-based gangs are starting to emerge as a major threat, both institutionally to the public security forces, but also to the penitentiary system, obviously. The other is obviously the oldest threat inside the tri-border area, and it's still very active, which is Hezbollah. And given all that's going on in the Middle East with Hezbollah's conflict with Israel, you know, as they're raining rockets down on the northern border of Israel, there is a lot of discussion about the financing of terrorism, and the tri-border area is one of those areas that does is engaged in a lot of the financing for Hezbollah. So actually, the days before we had the conference in the tri-border area, there was a major arrest that happened in Colombia, which you spoke about last week on the show, about a Hezbollah financier using charcoal as a money laundering mechanism to be able to get illicit proceeds for Hezbollah. And then in Sao Paulo, Brazil, there was another arrest of another individual using vaping, the e-cigarettes, to be able to do a money laundering scheme to the benefit of Hezbollah. So essentially, with the big conversation really just centered around cooperation, it's centered around global and regional threats. And I should just take the time to commend specifically the Argentine government, the Argentine Ministry of Security, and also the police of Paraguay, the Federal Police of Paraguay, because they did an outstanding job of bringing all this together. It was very high level. You had the commanders of the police of all three countries, and you had the sense of camaraderie that was building among the three to be able to deal with these big, complex challenges.
Let's take those two countries. We'll start with Argentina. Before Milei's administration, Argentina was said to be ripe with Hezbollah actors and high-handed methodology at the executive level, several presidents looking the other way or profiting from the Hezbollah presence. And then we have the Amiya bombing of 94 and the murder of Niesman in 2015. Has that all reversed itself and the Argentine authorities are now considered to be lawmen?
Yeah, so the Argentine Ministry of Security is really becoming the lead agency in Argentina for dealing both with the citizen security concerns, the things like, you know, kidnapping for sure, but things like theft and robberies and extortion and things that have to do with the insecurity environment in Argentina. But they're also becoming like an agency that deals with these kind of bigger geopolitical threats. And that a lot has to do with the capabilities and experience that the minister has, Patricia Bullrich, who's got a longstanding track record at being very adept and competent to help Argentina become more secure. And she also has an excellent team, including their head of intelligence, their chief of cabinet, that's really doing a lot of this work. So they are really kind of shaping the Milei government to be a government that's not just looked at as one in favor of liberty, obviously with economic liberty as being the focal point, but also being one that's in favor of security. And I think one of the lines that the minister has used repeatedly is that you can't have liberty without security, nor can you have true security without liberty. So they make these two very mutually dependent concepts that really, you know, advance kind of the image and the projection of Argentina as kind of the home of freedom in Latin America.
Then let's look at Paraguay. Do I remember correctly that the prosecutor in Paraguay was the one who was assassinated on a holiday, I believe his honeymoon, off the coast of Colombia? Was that Paraguay?
That's right. It was Paraguay.
And what does that tell us about the Paraguayan justice system now? Because that was meant to be an not only a murder, but an intimidation of the whole apparatus investigating Hezbollah.
Yeah, so this is tricky because, ironically, right when the conference was finishing, we got news from Asunción. So we were in Ciudad del Este, which is the tri-border area city. Asunción is the capital of Paraguay, and we got news that one of the legislators in Paraguay from the ruling party, the Colorado Party, he was shot at his house because he got in a shootout with law enforcement agents in Asunción. And this kind of, you know, this is, you know, one of the things that, you know, really grabs headlines, but it also kind of very emblematic of a problem in Paraguay. It's a problem throughout all Latin America, but it's particularly strong in Paraguay, which is narco-politics, meaning there's a lot of political figures in the country that are heavily tied to drug trafficking and other forms of organized crime. And so that's a challenge that Paraguay has. It's a challenge that President Peña is confronting, and it's something that I think it would be very hard for him to tackle without the cooperation of his neighbors or even his allies, such as the United States. And so, you know, Paraguay is going through a bit of a tense moment because the president is kind of wrestling with a lot of political forces that are trying to steer him in a direction that would probably isolate Paraguay from the United States. And obviously the United States is trying to make sure that our relationships are solid, even if, you know, at times we probably, I would say, you know, with the Biden administration, become a bit too bullish on trying to impose what we want in on Paraguay. So in essence, Paraguay is a much more complicated country. It's got this big issue of narco-politics. It's got a bit of a division within its political class, and not on political grounds. I'm talking about more on like this kind of more on kind of these mafia style tactics that, you know, some political folks try to impose on others inside the country. But at the tri-border area where we were at, they are taking it serious. They are starting to increase their capacities and they're cooperating very well, both with Argentina and with the United States and with Brazil. On the threats that are in the triple frontier.
Now we go to Argentina. This is a Reuters report in these last days. Buenos Aires. Argentina's federal police dismantled what it said was a terrorist cell planning attacks on the Jewish community in the city of Mendoza, according to the National Security Ministry in a statement in these last days, describing the group as, quote, Islamist terrorist organization. What can you tell us about this, Joseph?
Yeah, this is actually a case from back in March of some radicals that came into Argentina. And, you know, there's this problem in Argentina that they have a lot of radical groups, some from the Islamist variety, but from other places as well, that are always potentially going to carry out some action. But my understanding is that the Ministry of Security had this pretty much under control as of March. But the thing I think that's really of note is that it happened in a city called Mendoza, which is a city that needs to be secured because in October of this year, the defense ministers of Latin America will be convening in that city in Mendoza for an annual ministerial to talk about defense cooperation. So you definitely want to get a handle on these threats before many of the defense ministers of the region come to that city to be able to have a meeting. And I think that this is something that the Ministry of Security has been on top of. So the bad news is we don't want to have these kind of people inside any country, but much less in Argentina, who has been a victim of international terrorism in the past. But the good news is the Ministry of Security is pretty on top of it. In this specific case, they were already on top of it, dating back to March.
The Kirchneristas, are they still a power in Argentina? Would they be in some fashion suspect of connecting to Islamist terror group coming into the country to create mayhem? Do those dots connect, Joseph?
Absolutely. Cristina Kirchner is known to have been doing all kinds of conversations with Iran. She was accused by the now deceased prosecutor Alberto Nisman of basically negotiating with Iran and the actors that carried out the Amia bombing in 94. But the Kirchneristas are also involved in organized crime. And in Argentina, there's a part of Argentina. You know, Argentina is a federal country. It has states and governors that have a lot of autonomy on how they control their regions. And there's a state in Argentina called Santiago del Estero. And I learned this while I'm here, that state, which is bordering Paraguay and Bolivia, that state is one of the most heavily infested with organized crime, terrorism, just all kind of bad actors, to the point that the federal police has a hard time going in there. The federal police can't just operate to go after these criminal networks inside the Santiago Estero because the governor of that state is to some level involved with some of these illicit activities and provides some level of impunity to these criminals. So this is an interesting case of how you see, and in the governor's a Kirchnerista, of course. So this is one of these cases where you start to see how small pockets of big countries tend to get overrun by criminal structures that have big pockets and big ties to political actors up into and including the governor of these states.
Joseph Umar is the executive director of Secure Free Society. He's in Buenos Aires. And Buenos Aires is a bright note in many parts of South America. There are no bright notes. And when we come back, we're going to Brazil via Argentina and Venezuela. These three countries are locked in a contest of will right now. It could be worse. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.